It's pretty fascinating to hear about other people's stuff. I mean, it's fascinating to me. And, you know, I think most people are pretty interested in you know, sort of the disorders that we live with that make us the walking wounded. It's really easy with the way things are going now to turn to substances to try to soothe our angst. If we have any emotional disorders, those tend to blossom under stress. So now is a really good time to be hearing about this stuff. People are fascinating, and the human spirit is amazing.
Michelle is licensed in the state of Nevada as an addictions therapist, and she'll talk with you about just about anything. Give her a call at 825-7529. Now, here's your host, Michelle Happy.
And this morning, we're going to be talking about menopause, so we're going to have some fun. I have guests in studio and on the phone. But first, I'm going to just do a little bit of housekeeping because I always forget to do this. I have my list. If you have questions and you want to call in, the number is 775-825-7529. We are streaming online, so you can call from anywhere you are by using the area code. If you're too shy to call in, you can email me through my website, and I can take your question that way. The website is mhappy.com, H-A-P-P-E. And also, I podcast these shows for later use, and those can be accessed through iTunes and also from my website, so directly to iTunes, so you can use those. So my guest this morning, we have Carol Mallory, who is a nurse practitioner who knows a heck of a lot about menopause. We are all menopausal women here, except for Michelle, but eventually she will be.
Soon enough.
Soon enough. Carol, welcome.
Thank you.
And then we have Lauren Anderson, who is, I call her the goddess of procreation. Welcome, Lauren.
That's a good one.
And that's because you have how many children?
I have 8 children.
8 children. Wow. And they were all home birth?
Well, 6 out of 8.
6 out of 8, yeah. So I was excited to talk to you because you were so into fertility and motherhood, and then all that changes.
Yes.
And then also we have Lisa Turner. Lisa, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Lisa's down in Glendale, California. And the reason I picked Lisa for this is she is a beautiful woman and a performer. And for beautiful women and performers, oftentimes menopause can be rather problematic. So, and we're going to be playing Lisa's songs during the break. So, Lisa, what's your website?
LisaSongs.com.
Lisa? Lisa's?
Songs.
Songs?
No, just Lisa Songs.
LisaSongs.com. She's a great singer.
Thank you.
So I just wanted, Lisa, can we start with you just about what your experiences have been? You're how old now?
I'm 52.
Uh-huh. And how long since you've had a period?
4 years.
Okay, you're in.
And 3 months. Uh-huh. But who's counting?
So how has it been for you?
Well, it coincided with the death of my mother, and my son had a head injury, and I had a fire in my house, and and my son moved away to D.C. to play baseball, one of my sons. And, I mean, it's been difficult. You know, that's the emotional. I just have felt so different about my life, and physically, I have, you know, all the classic symptoms.
Which are?
I had hot flashes.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that's what are the other symptoms? I don't know.
Wrinkles?
Yeah.
Wrinkles?
Yeah, wrinkles, sagginess.
Fuzzy brain.
Fuzzy brain.
Sleeplessness.
Yeah. Listlessness, yeah. Uh-huh. I tend to exercise.
Sleep issues.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sleep issues, I don't sleep as much as I used to, yeah. And that's
That's classic.
Yeah, it's not fun.
And it, just in terms of your issue of beauty, yeah. How has that been for you? Because I think all of us, when, you know, is it Nora Ephron who has a book, I Don't Like My Neck? Which I think is such a great title. You know, I got fat in my neck, and it also sags. If you don't have fat in your neck, you just have the wrinkly, saggy neck. So, and I know that's hard for a lot of women.
Yeah, I think on a really deep level, I'm embarrassed to be aging.
You're embarrassed.
I feel embarrassed. Uh-huh. I feel like this shouldn't be happening to me, that I should be, you know, because I really actually have been a very beautiful, physically beautiful person in my life, and now I look different, but, you know.
No, I mean, well, see, to me, you're still physically yeah. beautiful, and I'm sure to everyone around you, you're still physically beautiful, because we all adjust to yeah. those changes slowly.
I hear that.
Yeah.
I hear that
but
a lot. But
internally,
you know,
it doesn't matter, does
yeah,
it?
It doesn't, no. No, it's like, I'm embarrassed, and I kind of deal with grief. You know, I'm in a grieving process about who I used to be. And a lot of my music is reflective of that what I'm writing these days. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I'm not who I used to be, and I have to walk in the world with a different attitude and feeling. And, you know, there was this whole superficial attention thing and confidence that I had from being an attractive person. And, you know, and although people say I'm still an attractive person, I'm just struggling inside.
Yes. And I think this is true for a lot of women. And I always tell a story, you know, when I was young, I could get any man I wanted by yeah. just shaking my butt, you know. And
right.
now if I do that, some guy says, oh, ma'am, your butt's shaking. there's a way in which you become invisible.
Yeah, true.
And
very
sort
true.
Of off the market. Even when you're attractive, it's like...
Yeah.
You know, there's a way in which you don't matter anymore.
Exactly.
In that way.
It's our society, definitely. I feel that. And it makes me a lot more compassionate for older people now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more compassionate. I just go out of my way to say hi to the elderly in our society because I see how they get thrown away.
Yes, very much so. And there's yeah. so much wisdom there to be
yeah.
utilized. So stay with us, Lisa. I'm going to move on to Lauren here.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay. Lauren, how was it for
you
after eight children?
Eight children, yes. It was interesting. I prepared myself, though, because I read Christian Northrup's book, and I knew that I had a choice. Either I was going to be empowered or it was going to take me down, and I saw it take my mom down.
Oh, really?
Yes, mm-hmm. And I struggled with not wanting to do it her way all of my life. So.
And what was her way? How did it take her down?
Well, she was alcoholic, and she, it was the end. You know, that was the she got really critically, you know, staged alcoholic at that point, and
mm-hmm.
she stayed that way till she was 64,
mm-hmm.
and then she got sober, but. Yeah, but I just, you know, she was always so miserable. It was just doubled, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just knew I was going to do it different. You know, that's how I based my whole life.
And so what did you do to do it differently?
Well, I read all the positive material I could find.
Uh-huh.
I knew that millions of women had gone through menopause and made it. You know, I struggled, like Lisa, with... you know, feeling older and looking older. And
yeah, Lauren also is a very gorgeous woman, by the way, so and still is.
And you know, struggling with wrinkles and not looking the same and, you mm-hmm. know, belly fat and, you know, things that I've always been physically fit, even though I have eight kids and single. You know, I've been single for quite a number of years now, so it's challenging, you know.
Mm-hmm. I actually... think menopause lends itself well to being single, because when I was reading Christiane Northrup's book, it was so enlightening for me. And this was before menopause. And by the way, you should, if you're female, you should be reading that book in your 40s, right, Carol?
When you turn 40, the minute you turn 40.
Right. But one of the things that happens as all of the hormones are shifting, and I won't say which is what, because Carol's our expert on that, is that you lose that sort of desire to be nurturing and caretaking. And it almost feels like you become an instant sociopath or something. It's like, and the, you know, the way I put it is, I can't say the words, but it is make your own effing dinner. And I said,
and I've had women say that to me, that they've a 44-year-old woman who Michelle knows, came to me one day and said, you know, I'm not doing it anymore. And I said, what aren't you doing anymore? And she said, I'm not making dinner for them anymore. And I said, you're right on track, baby.
Right. I said to my husband the other day, I'm not your dish bitch. It's because it's not my, it just, you know, when you have all that estrogen, I guess it is estrogen, right, Carol?
Yeah, the estrogen is physiologically built in for us to care for other people, because we really have to when we have children and families. But when that starts to drop, it's your golden opportunity to become who you are, not who you are as a mother or a wife or a sister or even a friend. And that confuses women when they get in their 40s and that starts happening to them, because it's a big change. But like Lauren said, you know, she read the book by Christiane Northrup, which I feel should be a woman's Bible, should
what
be
is it
dog-eared.
Called?
It's called The Wisdom of Menopause,
and it's been revised several times. I have the latest revision, which is 2006. It looks like she might have written it starting in 2001, but I tell all my clients who are in their 40s who, like, I've had women I've just spoken to, even out on the street, that, you know, I'm so passionate about it, I'll talk to anybody about it. And they'll say they're in their 40s, and I say, well, you're perimenopausal. And they go, no, I'm not. And I'm like, okay, you're in for it then. Because you just need to educate yourself about what's going to happen so that you're not blindsided.
Yes.
And I think that's what happens to women. They get blindsided. So I don't want to interrupt with your process, Lauren. Continue telling us what happened with you.
Was it a fairly easy physically transition for you?
I'd say yes.
Not big hot flashes?
No, I had a lot of hot flashes, and I just layered, you know, and I stripped down to tank tops and whatever. Yeah, and I remember, you know, it was kind of humorous because it'd be winter and I'd be in a tank top, but, you know, I don't like to be hot, and I get a little anxious when I, you know, a feeling of anxiousness when I'd have them, and so...
Oh, yeah.
I would learn to breathe, you know, I just learned to breathe through it. I knew it would pass in just a number of minutes. And that was really my only complaint. And that and the sleep, a little bit of sleep problems.
Right.
And when the sleep problems came, I quickly went to the doctor and got some hormone therapy, some replacement therapy.
Yeah. Great.
And that changed it right away.
So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll hear Carol's, and I'm going to share my experience, too. So hold on.
Talk Radio 1230 KJFK.
Without a night's caress in touch and loving all night long, you speak to
okay, we're back. That's Lisa. Lisa, I wish you could have been here. You should have heard us jibber jabbering during
That's
the break.
Sexy.
It was
a sexy song.
What's that?
That's a sexy song.
Yeah, which is that's perfect segue to what Lauren was going to mention, and then we'll move on to Carol about.
Yeah, I sort of skipped that. One of the biggest parts about menopause that bothered me was the vaginal dryness, because I was in a relationship at the time, and it felt like part of me was missing. And I mean, we used all the things, we got real creative, but it just to me felt like something was missing from my body.
And I mentioned during the break, that's why I think of you as the fertility goddess. You know, you were so fertile, having children, being a great mom, everything natural. And when that stops, it's symbolic and metaphorical. And so I'm a big advocate of coconut oil. You can get it at Trader Joe's they've got a good price for it. So
is it organic?
Yes. It's a lot of Trader Joe's stuff is organic. So Carol, let's move on to you.
Okay. Yes. I am 61 now. And so I think I've been menopausal. Yeah, exactly 5 years. So I was 56 when I turned menopausal. In my late 40s, I started to have the blindsiding that happens to 40-year-olds when they don't pay attention to their perimenopausal symptoms. And I started reading about, you know, my hair started falling out. I was getting warm flashes. I never really got hot flashes. And I started reading books. I think the first one I read that I really hit me was Dr. John Lee's book on what your doctor may not tell you about either perimenopause or menopause. There are two books he's written. And other books, when these things were happening to me, I think I got every book known to man at the time, and that was in the mid to late 90s. I turned 40 in 1991. So each book had a list of symptoms, and it's incredible what, you know, and some of them were different, you know, some of them would have, most of them have, you know, the usuals, but there's other, it's like they say emergency rooms are full of women who are perimenopausal who think, you know, they have some dread disease. Mm-hmm. So when I got a hold of one of the books, it said, you know, your hair falling out, and I'm like, oh, whew, good. You know, I'm not dying, but something's not wrong with me. And then I started to use progesterone cream. I wish I'd started using it earlier in my 40s. It's over the counter. You can get it. I had terrible fibrocystic breast. I grew fibroids in my uterus because of a phenomenon called estrogen dominance. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it wasn't really that well documented, but it is now. And I can, in retrospect, understand totally what happened to me. That's why I say I wished I'd started using progesterone cream earlier. What happens is, your body stops, you know, your ovaries stop putting out the eggs efficiently. They just start coming out in groups, and it's kind of like how I would visualize it is like in the old days when you, in the cold mornings, when you try to start your car, you know, and it would just turn over and turn over. That's what's happening with your body when it's trying to put out eggs in your 40s. And sometimes they don't pop out, or they pop out immature, and that is not ovulating. And when you don't ovulate, you do not produce progesterones. So what happens is you get an imbalance between estrogen and progesterone. It's not necessarily that your estrogen levels have dropped, although they do drop. Those levels drop very subtly. But the balance between estrogen and progesterone creates what's called estrogen dominance. And
is that why you start growing all kinds of little moles all over your body? And
it could, yeah, it could be, yeah, because it's, you know, progesterone calms you, and estrogen is the one for the growth. So some of the symptoms that I list here in front of me, because I'm nervous and, you know, I might forget.
You don't sound nervous.
Symptoms, by the way, Christian Northrup's, she's a medical doctor. She's a gynecologist. Her book, The Wisdom of Menopause, every 40-year-old should have this book. It should be dog-eared. It should be read, you know, four or five times by the time she turns 50. And by the way, the average age for menopause is 51.2. But in this room, we have an interesting range,
right,
of menopause, when women turn menopause. So I was 56.
I was 60.
And Michelle was 60, and you were 52, you say?
Yeah, 51 or so.
Yeah, so she was...
And Lisa, you were?
48.
48.
Yeah, okay, so in Lisa's case, Dr. Northrup says there's three ways women go into menopause. The natural way, which Michelle and Lauren and I have experienced, a hysterectomy or some kind of a surgical menopause created by taking out your uterus and or both one or both of your ovaries. And then there's the way that Lisa experienced, which is through stress.
Oh, you can actually.
Absolutely. What she described to me, I was sitting here shaking my head going, wow, you know, she was doomed.
I didn't know that. Wow,
yeah. That's what happened to you. It probably wasn't, you know, if you hadn't had all that stress, you might've had kept your estrogen longer. Anyway.
Yeah.
So we have in this room, you can see the range. Lisa was 48, and Michelle was 60, and we have two in between there. Mm-hmm. And you have everyone at every single age going through menopause, and you can't say you're a member of the club until you haven't had any blood or period, and even kind of spotting counts too for 1 year. So
no, I had 8 months. This is Lisa again. I had 8 months when my mom was in the hospital. Where I didn't have a period, and I was hoping I was done, kind of.
Yeah.
But then I had one more period, and then mm-hmm. that was it. 4 years later now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So I started having my fibroids in my uterus started causing, because of the estrogen dominance, it grew those fibroids. And like I say, I wish I had started taking it earlier. And also for my breasts, because when your breasts get really sore, you know, that's from the lack of balance between your estrogen and progesterone. Even when you're taking hormone cream, you have to look at that too. But okay, the list of estrogen dominant symptoms: decreased sex drive, irregular or otherwise abnormal periods, most often excessive vaginal bleeding, which happened to me usually
too.
Because of fibroids in your uterus, bloating, or water retention, which even...
Still have that.
Yeah, well, that could be too much estrogen. Breast swelling and tenderness, mood swings, most often irritability and depression. So the anxiety you were feeling when you had those hot flashes could have been from estrogen dominance.
Also, if I could just interject, the symptoms of a hot flash will mimic the symptoms of an anxiety. So
yes.
We misinterpret, you know, I mean, we feel the physical symptoms and we think anxiety when it's actually a physical thing of the hot flashes.
Absolutely. So weight gain, which if I could tell you the number of women sitting in the chair in my office next to me telling me that about their weight gain around their middle, I mean, it just is like 100%. Cold hands and feet. And headaches, especially premenstrually. Mm-hmm. So Lauren's shaking her head. Yeah, that was definitely an estrogen dominance situation. And had she known, and she, you know, medicated herself with progesterone. In fact, Dr. Northrup talks about that in her book, just specifically doing a high dose of progesterone when you have those premenstrual headaches.
Does taking progesterone increase your chance of getting cancer? Because that seems to be the big issue for menopausal women, is either uterine cancer or breast cancer.
Well, in the women's health study that ceased in 2002, where they saw they had to stop it because of the cancer issues, the hormone replacement they were using was not bioidentical. In other words, if you look at the chemical structure of our hormones and the chemical structure of what they were giving to women, it was not exactly the same. And what they're seeing now is that is the reason, because that causes the symptoms, is how that progesterone is actually broken down. And the progesterone, they think, was the culprit.
Interesting. And I was just asking leading question, not knowing, thinking it was estrogen. So,
Estrogen, you know, women have cancer, women have breast cancer and uterine cancer because of estrogen too. Yes. And I can't speak to that with really great authority, but I do know that all the studies that I know about that have been done on bioidentical hormones have come out positive.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't seen a correlation with cancer.
Which breast is good news.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, you do have to have the right combination.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, I think hearing about all these medical and physical symptoms, I'm also thinking about how those affect us emotionally. And for me, one of the hardest things, it's kind of is similar to you, Lauren, is I just don't care about sex anymore. And it's not that I don't enjoy it, because I do. But it seems like there's an essential feedback loop or something that's missing in me, where I know it's enjoyable, but I really don't care. You know, I don't. And Lisa's giggling there, so you have that same experience, because Lisa and I are both Scorpios, so we're sexual women, and I was very sexual, and it's very difficult to adjust to myself as this different person now. I kind of like it in some ways. I mean, there's many ways in my menopause that I really like the levelness of it. You know, I like not having periods. I like my even increased desire toward my career, because I think that's another symptom that comes up. So this is, they say, you know, you see the old people, the women are driving and the men are in the back seat talking, because men, you know, they have manopause, don't they? And
yeah,
it's
they
called
do.
Andropause.
Mm-hmm. Their testosterone levels drop, yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And their sex drive also mm-hmm. drops, which is handy, you know.
Not as quickly as ours does, but.
This is true. And I'm married to a younger man. So on that note, we'll take a little break and then we'll come back. And we're going to be truncated today because of the Giants baseball. So we have till about 10 till?
Yeah, till about 10 till.
Okay. All right. See you when we come back.
You're listening to Talk Radio 1230 KJFK.
We're back. Oh, see, I just want to listen more. That's Lisa Turner, lisasongs.com. Lisa, there you
go.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's, your voice is so strong in that song.
Beautiful.
Lauren's loving it.
Oh, love it.
Oh, thank you, Lauren.
So, Michelle came in to sort of remind us to talk about how women can get treatment with bioidenticals, and Carol, you're a nurse practitioner, but you're only a nurse practitioner until August, right?
I work in Carson City at a clinic called the Nevada Center, and I'm going on a leave of absence starting the first part of August until December, because I'm going to be teaching nursing full time at University of Nevada, Reno.
That's so great.
And I just want to focus, because I'm passionate about this issue, perimenopause and menopause. If I could make a living at it, I would do that full time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how to market it. So, you know.
We should talk. Because I'm very good at marketing.
We
but
really
I,
need you.
But even now, I'm only working every other Wednesday afternoon mm-hmm. at the clinic. And I can only take up to 5 appointments. The beauty of working as a nurse practitioner in a clinic like that, especially with perimenopause and menopausal women, you can take as much time as you need with them.
Mm-hmm.
And in this clinic, I give people my email that I work with as clients, and I want them to communicate with me because it's an ongoing process, and people have issues that they don't know, you know, if something happens with the cream or whatever, and I want them to communicate with me so we can adjust, you know, and I give them a wide latitude. Because I want my patients, my clients, to be partners in care with me. And to the degree that they can be that, it works out much better.
And that's true with all recovery issues. That we have to be
absolutely.
In charge of our own recovery.
Yeah.
And Lauren, you've been really good at doing the research. You know, you did all the reading, mm-hmm. being informed. I think it's really important. Can a woman go to her regular doctor and say, hey, can I have bioidenticals?
Some can.
And
most of them don't know how to do that, and they probably would if they knew how to do it.
Uh-huh.
But I know Dr. Connolly's clinic here in Reno, I can't remember her first name, Jane Diamond is a nurse practitioner that works with her. I know they do bioidentical hormones, but other than that, I think maybe Michelle can do some research
I'll
on that.
I'll do some research.
And find out the sources in Reno. I work in Carson City because I live in Carson Valley, and I don't really even know. Some regular physicians will, like Michelle's, will write your prescription. If somebody else has already put you on it and you're doing well on it, they'll just copy your prescription. And you have to get, if you have the cream, you have to go to a compounding pharmacy. And I know there's a couple here in Reno.
Yes.
And we have one.
Mike's Pharmacy.
In Carson City.
And then I think it's Dave's Pharmacy in Reno.
They don't call it Dave's. It was Dawn's.
Dawn's.
And I think it's Sierra Compounding or something like that.
Yes.
But my clinic in Carson City uses Women's International Pharmacy. It's based in Arizona and somewhere in Illinois, maybe Chicago. And we call them with our prescriptions. Women get their prescriptions within a week, you know, in the mail. Now, their website is fabulous. If you want information about anything about perimenopause or menopause or any of the hormones or thyroid, they have a fabulous website that has a lot of information
on
it.
And what is the website?
Women's International Pharmacy. Just if you Google Women's International Pharmacy, you'll find their website.
Great.
And also Woman to Woman is a good website to look at, too. I'm blocking on the name of the physician that runs that. I used to get her newsletter. That also has some really good information. And I think you can even get bioidentical hormones through them, but I'm not 100% sure.
And if you're looking for a doctor, couldn't you just go to a compounding pharmacy?
Absolutely.
And ask them to refer to a doctor?
Absolutely, who does their compounding.
Yes.
And they... Now pharmacists, it's getting to where now pharmacists can, I won't swear to this, but, you know, I think some pharmacists can prescribe and test. Now, the testing you do for hormones is saliva testing. The blood just doesn't tell you what you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're perimenopausal and we can get a baseline hormone panel on you, we can see where your hormones function at the best before you go into menopause. Because every woman is different. Every woman that sits in front of me, I have to listen to her story. If she's able to tell me, you know, in a succinct way, and that's where you need to read and inform yourself and be a partner in care, which I prefer.
It's very...
What about our mothers?
Your mothers, what about them?
Well, do women, like I know that, you know, the size of children, birth size, things like that, and, you know, the way women have their periods and stuff kind of is familial.
Yes, you're likely to go through menopause exactly when your mother did.
My mom was 58. I was 60.
She was probably
59. Yeah.
My mom had a hysterectomy. And so I asked my aunt. My mom had three sisters, and the only aunt that didn't have a hysterectomy, I really embarrassed her and asked her when she went through menopause. And she said she didn't remember exactly, but she knew it was late. Then I knew that I was going to be later. I was 56, like I said. Average age is 51.2. And we have that represented here in Lauren. And so, yeah, you're likely to go through menopause exactly when your mother did. So you're right,
yeah.
Lisa.
We should start talking about that stuff earlier, huh?
Absolutely. Like I said, the minute you turn 40, you should run out and get at least Christian Northrup's book, The Wisdom of Menopause.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I liked reading different sources to confirm what I would read from one source.
And we need to talk to each other too. You know, there's so many subjects that are inside
taboo.
Of menopause that are verboten.
Yeah.
And this is why I wanted to do
it's cultural.
This show. And it is cultural. Absolutely. And different cultures have different experiences with menopause because of cultural differences.
Mm-hmm.
So
only 20% of women have really bad menopausal symptoms like hot flashes. And
which is amazing. That's an amazing statistic.
I once asked somebody who said they had hot flashes because I wanted to find out because I wanted to see if I was experiencing what other people were experiencing. And like Michelle said, the topic is taboo. So sometimes when you talk to people, they're very leery, but this woman who said she had hot flashes, I said, well, what does that feel like? You know, and she said, it feels like a volcano going off inside me. And I thought to myself, no, I don't have a volcano. So I started calling mine warm flashes.
And I think I have warm flashes too. It's really not that bad.
They never really bothered me. So only, like I said, only 20% of women have really bad symptoms. And those are the ones you hear about, the ones that the physicians think are really crazy. And they used to, they don't so much anymore, but you know, there's still some lingering, you know, judgments about that time of our life.
When I get female clients, well, male clients too, but less on a lesser degree, I always ask, where are you? Are you having your periods? When did you stop? What sort of differences are you experiencing? Because it's important to put all issues in the context of what time of life we're in, because I know for myself, I'm like a different gal. So, yeah.
Well, it's your opportunity to become who you are. It's a golden opportunity for women in their 40s. So I highly recommend educating yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's a lot of adjustment that goes on in the male-female relationship, too. There's the, and I think Christiane points out in her book that the incidence of divorce really spikes at around 58, 57, 58. And I think that's because of these changes that go on, that men are used to being nurtured and taken care of, and women get to the point where they are just so done with that. And so if a man can't adjust to those differences that his female partner is going through, then that can, then that's, I think that's why a lot of men go to younger women at that age, you know, because they want some juicy young girl that can meet their every need. And then women like us kind of prefer the company of women. You know, I tell my clients, when you're going through emotional issues, don't go to your husband, go to your girlfriend, because women are more in tune with all that emotional stuff. It's just, I don't know if the differences between the sexes become more pronounced in menopause, Carol.
Well,
what do you think?
Yeah, I think maybe so. But my husband in particular is a man who's more in touch with his emotions. And so he's actually more in touch with his than I am with mine at times.
Yes.
And so he has been able to encourage me to talk about things that, you know, I thought I shouldn't talk, you know, or it didn't occur to me. But it's because he's in touch with, you know, and most men are not that way. I think he's different.
Yes, he is different. I can attest to that. I know, Jim. The other question I had is, I got allergies when I went into perimenopause, at the end of perimenopause. Is that common for,
you know,
more autoimmune?
It's common for you.
Oh, okay.
Everybody is different, and everybody manifests differently. So,
yes.
You know, probably Christian Northrup has addressed that in her book. I don't really, I haven't run across that with, that I can recall with the women that I've worked with. But
a friend of mine asked, she said when she was going through menopause, she was having an RA, rheumatoid arthritis flare up. And what occurs to me based on what you said is that, that stress could have brought on. The
absolutely.
Stress of the RA flare-up could have.
So it's multifactorial, you know, your thyroid, your sex hormones, and your adrenal glands are a triangle that I like to talk about. You have to balance all of them.
Right.
And it's, when you turn 50, it's a full-time job.
So we're hearing the music, and that means we have about 30 seconds. So I just want to remind everybody of my website. It's mhappy.com, H-A-P-P-E. I want to thank Lisa, Lauren, and Carol, and of course, Michelle, always, for being here. We're going to have to do more. So, Carol,
yeah.
I'm going to have you back.
Absolutely. I'm happy.
You are
back.
A wealth of information, and we need to deal with this subject more. So, I'm going to be skipping next month, so I'll see you in July.